Welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
Comic books. We're actually going to do a comic book this week, not a Mad Lib.
Yeah, I know.
Though I do love a Mad Lib show, I gotta say.
Yeah, I'm glad we still have a few more of those left.
Yeah.
That's a gift that keeps on giving.
It really
is. Mad Libs. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yes.
So, we've had quite a couple of weeks.
Yep. Went to see Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Mm. Wait, is that the official title of the movie?
Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
I thought it was just the Teen Titan Go movie.
No, it's Teen Titans Go! ! To the Movies.
Oh, that's right. They did. Yeah.
And they did. And you know what? Utterly enjoyable.
Yeah. No, I figured it was going to be a fun show.
You know, I have to say, I was wrong about the Teen Titans, Teen Titans Go. Because when we actually made it down to Comic-Con, when was that? Back in 2015?
Yes.
Yes? 2015, 2014?
When? It had to have been 20... What was it, 2013?
Oh, maybe it was 2013.
I think it was 2013.
It was like the year Teen Titans Go was premiering because we got a bag. You know, you register for Comic-Con and then you get a bag.
Yeah.
It has like, it was Arrow and then you got an Arrow and I think I got Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
And I was like, Teen Titans Go, I don't want this shit. Who wants to watch this stupid show? It's for kids, whatever. Like, I was not happy. And then I just happened to see it like years later on a plane.
Yeah.
And holy shit. I was like, I have been missing out.
Yeah.
This show is hilariously funny. And it's got a lot of great Easter eggs.
Yeah, that's the thing about the show. And it's on Hulu, so I actually might at some point. You know, like I keep saying the same thing about actually finishing Young Justice, too.
Right.
It's on Netflix, but you also got me the last season on DVD.
Yes. Of Young Justice?
Yeah.
Well, Young Justice isn't on Netflix anymore.
Oh, it's not?
No, because they pulled everything off because it's going to go to that DC streaming service.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which will probably be on Roku or no, on Fire Stick.
Probably.
So we'll probably have to get it there.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to think about this, like, you know, because I would love to get that DC service, to be honest.
Well, I want to see how much it is because I don't think they've put any pricing out yet.
No, they didn't. No, it'll probably be.
I think that's the question. Like, if it's as, like, comparable to, like, Hulu or Netflix, then yeah. If it's, like.
If it's anything more than what I pay for Netflix, which I think is like $11.99.
Yeah, if it's anything more than that, I'm not interested.
Yeah, you can suck my dick, DC.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I really want to see like how expensive it'll be before I commit to getting the DC streaming.
Because you know what? Your shit ain't that good.
Right?
You know?
You already have too much of my money.
You've already taken enough of my life.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I don't know if I want to give you any more.
Although I was very happy to give them my time for the DC, for the Teen Titans Go movie.
Oh, no, that was so fun. So many great jokes in there. Yeah. Just like, you know, if you're a fan of DC Comics, you will really enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
There's, you know, you see characters in the background, like, you know, Metamorpho shows up and Red Tornado shows up and Swamp Thing. There's a great running gag with a certain superhero team, should I say?
We could let people see that.
I would just say there's just such a great, because if you had asked me, like, what superhero team is the last superhero team you would ever expect to show up in this movie, I still would not have named this team.
Yeah, no, it was a good poll.
It was really, really great, and it's just very funny.
Yeah. A bunch of cool cameos for characters that was happy to see, like a lot of my guys.
Sure. Metamorpho.
Metamorpho's there. Dead Man's there.
Red Tornado's there.
Red Tornado did, yeah. There's a lot of characters.
He's in the background. A lot of these guys are just in the background.
Because there's a lot of scenes.
They don't have a lot to do.
Because there's a lot of scenes where also Spectre's there.
Yes.
There was a Dr. Fate poster.
Yeah, I didn't see him.
I didn't see
him.
I don't think he was there. But
it's one of those things that, like, I'd have to get the Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
And then pause it to see all the people who were actually in these, like, groups.
Yeah. Now, they do a lot of that to, there's a lot of characters they just ran in there. Because there's the whole premise is, basically the premise is that the Teen Titans, you know, are, you know, the Teen Titans and they're goofy, you know, and whatever. And they find out that there's another Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sneak their way into this premiere.
Yeah, because all the superheroes have been invited, but the Teen Titans haven't.
Right. Because nobody thinks they're legit.
Right. So they sneak their way into this premiere, and Robin is like, they're like, here's the coming attractions for this movie. And so they're showing trailers, and Robin's like, it's going to be about me. It's going to be about me. And it never is. So his whole thing is he wants a movie.
Yeah. He wants a movie, but they also realize that they need a nemesis because they don't apparently really have it. I guess on the show, there really isn't an established nemesis, I guess.
Honestly, I don't know. I haven't watched enough of it.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the first time because the character is Slade or Deathstroke.
It's Deathstroke. They call him Slade, though.
Well, they call him Slade because they probably didn't want to say you have a character on there called Deathstroke or Terminator.
True.
You know, they probably didn't want to.
Because it is a kid's movie.
It's a kid's movie. I mean, even though they reference Deadpool a bunch.
They do. Yes, they do. And it really, I mean, it's a kid's movie, but let's be honest, it really is.
There's some dark shit that kind of happens.
Yeah. Oh, very.
Which,
but it's amazing.
But it's done in such a way where you're just like, you can laugh at it.
Oh my God, I was laughing. There were so many things I was laughing at just that I absolutely loved. That I just found, like, just fucked up and wrong, which is, you know, my sense of humor. So I was just like, this is the best.
Well, especially when it's related to Batman, stuff like Batman and Superman and, you know, all the superheroes and stuff. Like, there's a lot of good gags
in there.
The stuff that makes it. And there's just a lot of, like, stuff in the background because, like, you know, they're in the city.
Oh, yeah. There's, like,
little shops and stuff, but everything's kind of named after superheroes, which is how I would love to see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In real life, you know, I'd go to those places. There's one in there that's Apocalypse and.
Yeah, it's Apocalypse, but as it's like a lip place.
It's Lips and Nails or something.
Yeah, it's like a Lips and Nails and Lashes spa, place. Whatever. It's like a spa, but it's Apocalypse, LIPS.
Yeah. There's a few other things. There's a whole bunch of them. You gotta like, I would highly recommend seeing the movie and just kind of just pointing those things out.
I do love it. This is like the very, very beginning. There's like a sign in whatever city that they're based in, which I can't remember.
I guess is it Jump City?
Jump City maybe. And it's like, welcome to Jump City. Below it says safer than Gotham. And that was funny.
Yeah. No, there's a plethora of fun to be had. And there's also like a lot of voices in there. Like, that I was surprised that they would have.
Yeah.
Like Will Arnett's Deathstroke.
Yes.
We knew that, but like.
Tara Strong is Raven?
Well, Tara Strong's Raven on the show.
Right,
apparently.
She's on the show, but I just was always.
I was surprised. I didn't realize she was on that
show.
That's
the thing. I thought she was always
doing other things.
She does a lot of stuff.
Well, she's
prolific, so.
Well, she's set, too. I mean, she's got every fucking gig.
Yeah, wasn't she on the Powerpuff Girls, too?
Well, she's one of the Powerpuff Girls, you know, and she's obviously Harley Quinn.
Right, she's done a lot of shit, so.
Yeah, so she does everything, but Nicolas Cage.
Oh, that's right, Nicolas Cage.
He finally gets to play Superman
in
a movie that people see.
So he's probably happy.
Yeah, yeah, he was doing that, and there was a few others.
Yeah, there was a couple of them.
You know, I just realized we haven't done a show since Comic-Con, so we haven't had a chance to react to, like, any trailers or anything, too.
Oh, yeah, we haven't.
I guess we should maybe
touch upon that. I posted this on our Facebook page, so I saw the trailer for the Titans TV show, speaking of the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
That's fucking bullshit. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
I've never hated anything more, I don't think.
That just looks like...
Fuck Batman. Well, looks so stupid. I don't want it. I don't want any of it.
Well, also, too, it just looks like a parody of something where they're
looks like a fan film. It's like a fan...
Oh, yeah.
Like, because some of, like... Like the and maybe the effects weren't finished and stuff, which is fine, but like some of the effects they were doing on like Starfire's hair and stuff, like I was just like, somebody did it in iMovie. It does not look good at all.
You know who would make a great Starfire? Would be a Beyonce.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yes.
Like easily, like you could, like, you don't even need to do anything with her skin because she's like pretty much looks like Starfire.
Yeah, you just need to give her red hair.
Just give her like red orange hair and
that'd
she's
be
like
sweet.
And just fucking glow her eyes and she's like and shit.
I would take a Beyonce as Starfire.
If DC could have that one. You could throw all the money in the world to have that Beyonce Starfire, and they would make a shit ton of money because her fans would go crazy.
I would go crazy, but at the same time, like Beyonce would be like, I don't fucking need this.
No, she don't need it.
I'd be like, damn straight, you know, because you know what? She's going to be on the cover of the September issue of Vogue. It's Anna Wintour's last issue, I guess, ever. because she's retiring, but she's going to be on the September issue, and the September issue is always the big fucking deal.
Yeah, yeah.
In fashion, because that's when all, you know, that's the big, big issue. Apparently, Beyonce is so fucking powerful that she gets to choose the photographer, choose the styling, and she can do whatever the fuck she wants. Like, Vogue has no say. That's like her contract is she gets to do whatever the fuck she wants for this cover. That's how powerful Beyonce is. So she doesn't need to be in a superhero movie, but she could
if
be.
She wants
if
to.
If she wants to be.
If she wants to. Here's the thing. If Beyonce was going to be in
like,
a superhero
I
movie.
I want a Starfire movie to be like, then you get the entire thing.
She could have a Starfire. If she was like, I really like Starfire and I think I could do this role. Because, I was just thinking about that because they have.
Well, she was in what? Goldmember or whatever?
Yeah, she's done movies, you know. Yeah. You know, she's done. You know, that was before, you know, she was still. I think it was like
she was still Destiny's Child. Right?
It was still like it was just is it the tail end of Destiny's Child? Yeah. I think like we're getting towards.
It's been
the
a
end.
Long time since that movie came out.
Yeah,
but so yeah, the Titans TV show looks fucking stupid.
Blech.
I think it's. I mean, it's really dumb that they use Dick Grayson to be the one who's like fuck Batman. Because really, I mean, you already have a character. Jason Todd would be perfect for that.
Yeah.
To be like ridiculously violent and hate Batman. You're like, great, we already have it. But no, we're going to put Dick Grayson there.
Yeah.
So that sucks. What was the, there were two other ones. Oh, Aquaman trailer came out.
Yeah.
Eh. I don't know how I feel about it.
I got to see the movie.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a very epic trailer.
Yes.
And I like a lot of things in it.
Sure.
I think the thing that it isn't really jiving with me is Amber Heard as Mera.
Oh, no, and her hair looks awful, by the way. I mean, that is, like, the fakest red I've ever seen.
Like, I don't know. I can't really speak to a ton of movies that I've seen her in. She was in the first Magic Mike, I think, right? Or was that Elvis's granddaughter?
That's Elvis's granddaughter.
Was she in the second one, then?
I don't know.
I feel like she was in one of those. And I didn't hate her in that.
I don't know.
But I don't know. I just haven't really quite figured it out. But, I mean, other than stuff, like, I think Black Manta looks awesome.
Oh, Black Manta looks really cool. That's super exciting.
That's really cool. Cause
he looks perfect.
Yeah, that's a cool. I mean, there's the thing about that I'm a little bit worried about, too, is that there's, like, a shit ton of. Well, I mean, okay, it's the first movie.
Yeah,
it's the first Aquaman movie, so if you're going
to. I'm going to give it a chance.
Yeah, I'm definitely giving it a chance. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to see it. I still don't. Like, that trailer kind of just left me, like, okay. Like, I'm not, like, super pumped for it, but I'm not like, oh my God, I hate this.
Yeah.
So, I'm going in with reservations.
Going to reservations, but, you know, because the thing is, though, it's also a DC movie, so you never really know where they're going to go with
right.
it.
Right. And I didn't hate Jason Momoa in Justice League.
No.
I thought he did all right. I mean,
in terms of there being levity, that, I mean, even though it's kind of a, he's a very bro-y character.
Oh, 100%.
Let's be honest, you know, Aquaman in the DCU is a very bro-y character. He's like, I mean, it's literally like, it just feels like Hawaiian bro,
yeah.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
But he's also just happens to be Aquaman.
It's the exact same thing that like Matthew McConaughey brings to every role.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's like, this is a dude who just like, obviously plays naked bongos and smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah.
And then like, Jason Momoa is a dude who spends a lot of time on the beach and smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah.
So that's what Aquaman's like too. And, you know, maybe it works. I don't know. Like I said, I'm going in.
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to him. I think I'm not crazy about Amber Heard.
No.
From what I see, it's just something about it. Just
I
like,
really hate that red hair they gave her. I'm like, ooh, this is a bad drag wig.
I haven't seen enough Ocean Master. I think he's in the trailer a bunch, but I'd have to actually see the movie to really appreciate it. And what I've seen, I like Black Manta.
Manta looks awesome.
And I like the scope of it. I mean, yes. It's a very epic movie.
Yeah.
Because we're covering a lot of Aquaman. Like, this is a lot. There's probably. Because Aquaman's a character.
I just hope it's not too much Aquaman. What I mean by that is, I'm hoping that they're not trying to pack too many storylines from Aquaman.
That's what I worry about.
Into one movie. Yeah. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah. Because
that's what I mean by too much Aquaman. Like, I just want them to settle on, like, one classic story.
Yeah.
Not, here's these 15 stories everybody loves, we're going to shove them into the same movie.
It worries me.
I'd hate that.
Yeah. Well, real quick, it's like, it feels like Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
You know, I get worried about that because when you have like a bunch of
villains, yeah.
And you're trying to fit all that in and stuff. But Aquaman's a character where, like, I feel like, I mean, not a lot of people know who he is, but sure. Not a lot of people know what to expect from him.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. It's good that we're getting this, and you know they're taking a shot with it. You know, I'm just glad to see it.
Yeah.
So that, and also the Shazam trailer.
I loved the Shazam trailer. Yeah. I thought it was fun, and I don't really even like Shazam as a character.
Shazam actually annoys me.
Yeah.
Like, I see him show up and I'm like, meh.
And I'm also the type of person where I don't like movies about kids.
No, you don't.
Like,
no.
I never have, except Harry Potter, but that's different. But even when I was a kid, I was like that. But this is, I like this. This is kind of like, it has the same feel for me, at least from the trailer, as Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
I really enjoy.
Definitely got that vibe, yeah.
So we've got like, it feels a little smaller. Like one of those smaller stories as far as like we're not looking at like world ending shit.
Yeah.
It feels like we're just focusing on a smaller local story for this hero.
Yeah. And if they
which if they do that, it's going
to
be great.
And if they can keep it to that, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think really made Spider-Man Homecoming.
Absolutely.
Just stand out because you didn't watch it.
He wasn't trying to save the world. He was just trying to like. Stop this one guy.
Yeah, he was just trying to stop the Vulture.
Yeah, stop the Vulture, who was a great villain.
Yeah.
But he's just trying to stop this one guy, and he's just hanging out in Queens.
Yeah,
and
just a kid from Queens trying to figure shit out.
And, that's it. And
you know,
that
and he's
was
related
great.
To. There's you know, there's Avengers tie-ins and sure. stuff like that, but you know, you don't have. It's not beating you over the head, you know.
Yeah.
So it's. I mean, obviously, Iron Man's in it, but. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah,
and
I
you
am
know,
too.
And you know what might actually happen with that is because The Rock is supposed to play Black Adam.
Right.
So he might factor into that movie somehow. I don't know if he is going
to. Because I didn't see him in the trailer.
No, he might not even be in the movie, but he might be associated somehow.
You think he'll show up in like the end? Like
they might do at the Caesar. End, or he might be in the, he might just show up like he does in fucking Scorpion King and be like you know, when he's like the CGI scorpion, half rat, half rock, half scorpion, scorpion, and he's doing a fucking eyebrow.
Yeah.
You know, he might just show up like that.
Man, I forgot how terrifying that CGI was.
Well, yeah, that was like, what, 2000 and...
Oh, it was way back.
It was, yeah, God, it was 2002.
I think I saw that in the movie, in the theater.
I did, too. I think I did, too. I think that was 2000 and... Two, I think.
Sure, maybe.
Yeah, because Rock was already like kind of on his way out of WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he was kind of moving back and forth between that stuff. But yeah. No, yeah, that was that was
speaking
weird.
Of The Rock.
Oh.
As a joke has said that there is a genre of movies called The Rock Bald in a Jungle. The Rock is working on a new movie and it's called like Jungle Cruise. And it's based on a ride. Apparently, like a Disney ride, and it's him in a fucking jungle with no hair.
That's how he likes it. He just films them all at once.
Yeah, he just like, if I'm gonna go to a jungle, it better be worth.
If
my
he's
time.
Taking a trip to Africa or whatever,
wherever
you know,
the jungle
and he's
is,
just
South
like,
America.
Hey, I'm film a movie. I'm bald. I'm wearing. I'm sweaty. I'm moist.
I'm moist. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Film yeah. it.
I'm in that fucking. He was in that Rampage movie. Did we ever talk about the Rampage movie? On here?
I don't know.
I watched most of it. You, I think you fell asleep during it.
I sure did.
But that movie's nuts.
That movie's fucking ridiculous because I just saw the beginning of it and I was like, how did they get this monkey to like understand jokes and like give the finger? And like, what is even happening in this movie?
Oh, he knows about human fucking.
It doesn't make sense. Well, I mean, I'm sure he understands fucking like just on like a...
Monkey fucking.
Right. Like animals understand sex because they have to have sex, but they're not understanding like kinks or shit, you know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah
they don't understand S&M bondage,
right? But this fucking monkey in Rampage, fucking, he knows everything.
He's like fucking Dr. Ruth and shit.
Dan Savage.
Ooh, Dan Savage in Rampage. Just a giant Dan Savage fighting with the Rock trying to take the.
He's just walking around, just like giving his little like political spiel that he gives at the beginning of his podcast.
You know what somebody should do?
That I fast forward through.
Could somebody do a recut of every time the monkey talks? He gives Dan Savage advice.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing. And Rock... He's just like DTMFA, dump the motherfucker already.
It's just every time the monkey talks, it's just the Savage Love podcast.
Yeah, it's just saying Sanatorium or Santorum over and over again. What other trailers were there? Because I know Marvel is no longer doing Comic-Con because they're doing that like Disney, the D whatever.
D23.
Yeah. So they weren't there. Right. So they didn't have any trailers.
Yeah, whatever.
The Venom trailer just came out the other day, the new one. Did you see it?
I saw it this morning.
It was terrible.
I don't hate it.
Really? I don't like the voice. It really is a Dr. Claw. It's Dr. Claw.
But that's what Venom sounds like.
He sounds like Dr. Claw?
Yeah, he's a monster.
How come Tom Hardy always plays characters I can't understand? Is that his fucking contract?
Yes. Yeah, he's an alien. Like a alien monster. That's how he sounds like. I mean,
I'm not asking for him to sound like fucking, you know, like Barry White. I just want to be able to understand his words when he speaks. That's all. I don't want to be like, wait, what?
Would you prefer that he sound like David Hyde Pierce?
Sure. I'll take a David Hyde Pierce. That would be hilarious, actually.
He just starts talking. He's like, Barris. I can't do a David Hyde Pierce. But no, I didn't hate it. Mm. I mean, there's a lot to unpack in that movie that's going to be interesting to watch. But, you know, and it's definitely the Spider-Man stuff is separate from that. Like,
It's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird because you're basically trying to, I mean, I know that there's things that they pulled from to create this, but it feels weird separating Spider-Man or separating Venom and his mythos from Spider-Man, or at least trying to keep it as far apart as possible because of the whole studio business, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it would make more sense. But then again, you know, if you were going to have the Spider-Man stuff involved, you'd have to, you know, establish the black costume, you know, mm-hmm. in Homecoming, and then this, that, the other thing. You have to get through all that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, you're just like, there's a bunch of fucking alien goop. You know, and this guy gets some, and this guy gets some.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
Yeah, that's the movie.
There's a bunch of alien goop, and that guy gets some.
Great movie.
Venom.
Best movie.
And Tom Hardy's like, can I speak through this pillow?
God damn.
But this time, can I also, like, gargle oil while I do it?
I'm just going to gargle at the same time. I'm going to pretend to be Dr.
Claw. The ADR is just him gargling, like, argh. So, yeah. So, wow, there's a lot of stuff that we haven't unpacked yet. We'll probably think of some stuff. Real quick, I just want to point out, before we take a break, that our good friend Rob Kelly, he did help us out in responding to our Aquaman inquiries.
Oh, yes.
Very helpful and very generous with his information. So I guess we will, I'll go ahead and share it because I feel that it is necessary, because we did posit the question about Aquaman being able to communicate with.
Oh, yes.
Sea creatures, but not just like creatures that are in the water, but things that are like sea adjacent, I guess.
Right.
So per
like
Rob.
Like a mud skipper.
Yeah, like Muddy Mud Skipper. He can talk to Muddy Mud Skipper. He says it has never been fully spelled out what creatures Aquaman communicated with. It was initially stated as just fish, but even from his earliest days, he commanded whales and other mammals. Eventually, writers just use a sort of shorthand to suggest he could talk to anything that lived in the sea. That would include snakes, the ones that I'm scared of, frogs, etc. Later stories,
scared of frogs.
Later stories even had him even commanding seagulls and sea eagles, which I do like the term sea eagles because it's more just like seagulls. It's like, can he control Jason Siegel?
Perhaps.
Can he control Jason Siegel, and can he also control Abe Vigoda as Detective Fish?
Oh, these are very good questions.
Unfortunately, he can't do this.
I was going to say, when Abe Vigoda was still alive, I think the answer is yes.
No, he's dead.
No, when he was still alive.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the yeah. No, yes. Yeah. Well, unfortunately,
he is dead.
Unfortunately,
yes.
We did not get a chance to explore that question. When he was alive, you know. So unfortunately, there was not a scene. There's not going to be a scene in the Aquaman movie where Abe Vigoda is like just standing
just
up,
doing
whatever Aquaman wants him to.
He just like leaves the diner and he starts shooting at Aquaman's enemy.
He's like, "I'm going to get you, Black Manta. I'm coming for the Black Manta. I'm Abe Vigoda." Okay, so stories even had him even commanding seagulls and sea eagles, who of course don't live in the sea at all. That's true.
They live by the sea.
Do 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 do.
So not, that would mean like
not under the sea.
No, but by the sea.
Yeah.
So that would also mean like pelicans, sand fleas.
Manatees.
Well, manatees live in the water, though. I don't think they come out. Walruses do.
Later writers hinted that Aquaman's telepathy extended into other beings, even humans, usually with the help of some external power boost. Rob was helpful enough to include
some panels.
This one is a particular panel of Superman doing the Ralph Malph hug. He's like, "Hey, I'm making out with a girl." "Oh no, I'm not. I'm just hugging my arms.
Making out with myself.
Now, Black Canary is saying Aquaman's planting waves of terror in Superman's mind, instilling fear by conjuring up his death vision again in the way Necron ever could. Ooh, this is a Necron story. It took Jerry Conway to show explicitly that Aquaman's powers were such that he could even control people's minds, a giant leap forward for the character. Since then, it's basically been a given that he can do this. Other writers have taken the ball and run with it, and we have a shot of it's a panel from the JLA Detroit era where he is using his mind to stop Vixen from doing something. And he provides this nice...
But if she was a fish...
No, she's a mammal.
No, I know, but like she could take on the power of a fish.
What, by having Aquaman control her?
No, because like doesn't Vixen like...
Oh, you know, that's true.
She like touches that like medallion thing and then she becomes an animal, like gets the power of an animal?
That's another ball of wax trying to figure out what kind of animal she can summon.
Well, that's the thing. What if she had just been like the power of a dolphin, and then that means that Aquaman can control her?
I feel like maybe she's done that, or maybe that's Animal Man could do that. Who, by the way, was in the Teen Titan movie?
He appeared. So was Bawana Beast.
Yes, Bawana Beast.
Yes.
Hot damn, Bawana Beast.
But like, seriously, if Animal Man was like, "Okay, I'm a trout." I'm summoning the power of a trout or whatever.
He's done it before where he could summon the power of, I think we even read that in the one book where he summoned the power of a dolphin to hit somebody.
Yeah, he did. So does that mean that when he does that, does Aquaman have control over him?
Well, Aquaman just said that what Rob is saying though is that Aquaman has control over just telepathy in general. So he's kind of like,
well, I know, but
Professor X, but blonde.
Yeah. With
blonde hair and an orange sweater.
I just really like the idea that he can only control fish-related things. So if people are harnessing those fish powers.
Yeah. No, I mean, like it makes sense. Vixen, it makes sense if he was like, "Hey, Aquaman, pretend you're a fish." And then he could control Aquaman to do something.
Yeah.
Even though they're probably on the same team. He's just like, "Aquaman, why don't you go?"
Well, yeah. But I mean, how do you know? Maybe it's like a super boost. It'd be like putting Nas in a car in the Fast and Furious. It'd be like, "All right, Animal Man, summon the power of a dolphin, and then I will control you." And it's going to be like Super Dolphin.
Now I'm just picturing Ja Rule dressed like Aquaman.
Ja Rule?
Yeah, don't you remember
Ja Rule in...
First Fast and the Furious, yeah. And he's like, "Nas!"
Wait, Ja Rule is in the first one?
Yes, he is.
You're not talking about Ludacris.
No, Ludacris was the second one.
I don't remember Ja Rule being
Ja Rule was in the first one, and then, yeah, no, go... We might have to go back and watch it.
Well, that is a great movie. I like the
I'll watch the first Fast and Furious again.
Yeah. It's a fucking stupid movie.
All right, let's do it.
Family.
Oh, yeah.
Corona family.
You can have any beer in his house as long as it's a Corona.
But we're just going to forget that by the last Fast and the Furious movie.
Oh, yeah, they totally whiffed on that. They're like,
yeah, they're like, here's some Bud Light.
Here's some fucking Pabst.
Dominic Toretto would just fucking shoot someone who brought him a Bud Light. Are you kidding me? Run him over with a car.
You can have any beer in this on this rooftop as long as it's a golden anniversary.
As long as it's a Jetty Cream Ale.
As long as it's a Jetty Pounder. and then he just looks up at his cry and sees Larry Merrick. They said next to Paul Walker. Which, shout out to, good tribute to my father. Which, you know what? If there was a secret Larry Merrick tribute in Fast and the Furious.
You'd be so excited.
Was it Fast 8?
The Fate of the Furious.
No, because it was
one before that. Fast 7?
Well, Fast 7 was before. That was when we had Paul Walker face.
Yeah, because didn't they like CGI his face onto his brother?
Yeah, they were like, "Yo, let's put some dots on your face, and now you're like Paul
Walker.
You
look enough like your brother from a distance.
You're kind of like fucking face. It's kind of like that movie Face Off, which we just watched. Wow. We're all over the spectrum here.
We are. We're all over the place.
All right. You know, let's take our break. We'll come back. We'll talk about our book for this week.
Jeff and Rick present Unpacking the Power of Power Pack,
where we journey through each issue of the most underrated Marvel series of the 80s while drinking beer,
analyzing awesome and amazing adolescent adventures, and absorbing alcohol.
We got kids with powers. We got villains with attitude.
We got superhero guests, like all of them from the Marvel Universe.
We have thematically appropriate beer reviews.
We have good jokes and bad song parodies.
One stop for all your Power Pack pod-pleasing procurements.
And we got alliteration.
Find Unpacking the Power of Power Pack wherever fine podcasts are played.
Costumes on.
All right, we're back with our book for this week here on Worst Collection Ever. It is G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero. Oh, there's an exclamation point. I never noticed that. A Real American Hero. Number 77 from October 1988. It's been a minute since we've done some G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually from my collection. It's an IDW. This is weird. It's an IDW trade.
Okay.
That reprints the old Marvel series.
Oh, neat.
Which is strange because I don't know why that. I think that's because of the licensing and all that stuff. But yeah, that's what we got here. So, and yeah, I've been reading through this because the thing I like about G.I. Joe that I never really understood until much later later on,
sure,
was that there was like a whole thing going on in the comics that just wasn't limited to the figures, you know, because as a kid you just buy the figures and you're just like, oh, look at this guy, oh, there's that guy, you know, and you got all these guys and then you just fucking wrestle with them and whatever and give them moves,
uh-huh,
you know, have them win championships.
Sure, like everybody did.
I think a lot of people did that, actually.
I didn't.
But that's the thing, is like there would be like things in this book, like in this comic series, people would die. G.I. Joe's, like, they'd be like, Sneak Peek is dead. I'm like, I didn't know Sneak Peek could die. I thought he was just the character that they made after Stephen King's son, or they named it after Stephen King's son. The one that they rumored to have created was Stephen King created, or maybe his son created, was Crystal Ball, the Cobra Hypnotist.
That sounds right.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like him. he's not very well regarded, mm-hmm, from what I understand. But I didn't realize that until later, like around 91, they put out like a series of cards, like a trading cards, like kind of like those DC ones I have.
Mm-hmm.
And you did have a bunch of in memoriam. They're like, well, this guy's dead and this guy's dead. I'm like, what? And then you read it, it's like they're telling you stories about the comics, and they're like, yeah, like, you know, there was this one Viper soldier that shot a bunch of these dudes, and then a bunch of these other guys got bombed, you know, and then this person got stabbed, you know. It's like, oh, shit, G.I. Joe's violent as shit.
Yeah.
So
basically a war comic.
Yeah. It's an ongoing war comic, and it's really actually Larry Hama, who pretty much wrote, I think, the entirety of the, I'm probably wrong, but I feel like he wrote just about everything to do with G.I. Joe. It's an excellent, it's a lot of fun to read.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, there's a lot of stuff that's very heavy on military stuff that probably would notice on here, but it makes sense. So it's interesting. So I don't know. I'm actually really excited to talk about this again because we haven't touched upon it in a while. And there's some stuff in this book that you can unpack. So G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, number 77 from October 1988. On the cover, we have my dad's favorite G.I. Joe, Lady J.
Uh-huh.
As I've mentioned before on the show, my dad had, it still does, it's still my parents' house. He had a mint IndyCard, on the card, Lady J action figure.
Yes.
Lady J from, you know, that he bought at a, probably, I think, at a CVS.
Sure.
Like, because that's, you know, back in the day, you could just get fucking G.I. Joes wherever you want. CVS back in 1988 or 86, 87.
Mm-hmm.
And he always had it in his one drawer. And he's like, nobody will ever open this. It's going to be worth a lot of money one day.
That was your inheritance.
And
basically,
I never took it, though. It's still my parents' house.
Right.
Because he's like, if you are, because I legit believe that if I were to open it,
oh,
my father would haunt me.
Yeah.
You know, like he would literally, like a ghost would show up.
Yes.
You know, and it would fucking terrify me until the end of my
days. Yeah, he'd be really pissed. Don't do that.
He'd be really pissed.
Don't open that.
You know, it's like that and his Metal Men comics. Those are two things you do not fuck with.
Yeah, no.
A lot of Larry Merrick references resident in the show.
Really?
Shout out to my father.
Yeah.
you know, may he rest in peace. I'm still thinking about him showing up next to Paul Walker while Dominic Toretto drinks a Jenny Cream Ale. You know?
What? You know, that'd be
the
great.
The way my mind works sometimes.
I like it.
Hopefully my brother is appreciating this.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think
I think he would.
I think he will.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Zorana. Okay, so we have Lady J and Zorana.
Uh-huh.
Zorana is Zartan's sister.
Okay.
And basically, Lady J's like, you know, if you've never seen Lady J, she's basically like Sigourney Weaver. I think she's actually, to be honest, she looks a lot like Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, she's probably based.
Probably based on Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And
or at least like drawn around this time to look a lot like her.
Yeah, you know, it's probably based on Ripley, you know,
yeah.
Like she's got that, she's got the, you know, the shortish hair, you know.
She's badass.
She's badass. She's really badass. And she fucks.
Good for her.
Her and Flint, they fuck.
Good.
There's actually an issue in this book earlier where, in this trade, where they're about to fuck.
Good.
And then somebody interrupts them.
Boo.
Yeah. But yeah, because that was always a thing. Like that, if you're shipping G.I. Joes, what's it called? So there's slash, what's straight shipping?
It's just shipping.
Okay. So like you always got, Lady.
It's shipping regardless, but like if it's usually like slash. If there's sex involved and it's like a same sex, especially like male.
Okay. So, but if you're shipping, you know, Lady J and you got to do it with Flint and you got Duke and Scarlet.
Uh-huh.
And then there was the ninja girl Jinx. I don't know who you paired her with. Maybe
I don't know.
Falcon.
Looks like
Well, that was how it was in the movie. That's right. Yeah. Because Falcon and Jinx were together in the movie.
Yeah.
And then Covergirl. I don't know who Covergirl went with. I don't know. Maybe
Deep I don't know.
Six.
You do get the Baroness and her weird, I don't know, Oscar-headed boyfriend in this book.
That's right. We'll talk about this.
We'll talk about him.
Baroness and Destro, they fuck.
He looks like he just, like, somebody replaced a man's head with the head of
because he's scarred.
An Oscar statue?
But he's scarred, but they fuck.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming they fuck. I mean,
I'm going to guess.
assuming the G.I. Joe universe, they're fucking.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's fucking in this
Everybody's
book.
Fucking.
Let's just go with that.
G.I. Bone.
G.I. Bone?
G.I. Bone.
Is that a porn directed by Axel Braun?
Yes. Is that Lady Bone?
Sure. Everybody is someone Bone.
There's Bone. It's like, is there Snake Bone?
Yeah.
Anyway, so basically, yeah, Lady J, she looks like Ripley, and she's fighting Zorana, who looks like Wendy Williams from the Plasmatics.
Yeah, she also kind of looks like a reject misfit from Gem and the Holograms.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
What were they called? What were the bad ones called?
They were the Misfits, and it was I can't remember their names. I can see them, but I can't remember their names. But yeah, it was the Misfits.
Basically, that's what you're looking at. You know, they're grappling. She's Zorana. You know, Lady J's got like a fist cocked and a handful of hair.
Yeah, they're just fighting.
And like Zorana's got like fucking face claw. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So the story is called Aftershocks. Basically, where this leads off is, so there was a Cobra Civil War.
Okay.
Okay. And what's been going on is that, so it's actually confusing to read. So there's Cobra Commander here.
Mm-hmm.
Cobra Commander is so this is not the real Cobra Commander.
Right, which we find out in this book.
And he is at odds with Serpentor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Destro is like on the side.
Yeah.
And so they're all fighting. And that basically what happened was the G.I. Joes, there was something where Dr. Mindbender, who was with Serpentor, he was like, yo, we need the Joes to help us. I forgot exactly why the Joes agreed to help them.
Right.
Probably because, but there's something to, because there's a lot of things that are going on here with, I'll just be blunt, there's a lot of things going on here with like shady government dealings and stuff. And basically like the government is blaming the G.I. Joes for this fiasco at Cobra Island. But they don't want to take any blame for it. So they're basically saying, well, the Joes are dangerous and we're trying to disband them. And they become basically fugitives at this point.
Right.
you know, it's Aftershocks and basically we're in the aftermath of this.
Yeah, so we're trying to clean up the mess and, like, you know, rescue the wounded and, like, you know, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah. And so Lady J's there with Flint and they're like, hey, we got to get some of these wounded out of here.
Basically what happens here at the beginning is there's just like a bunch of people talking about, like, you know, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. And then Lady J and what the hell's her face.
Well, what happens is, so Zarana starts talking shit about Baroness.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They start talking shit and Lady J doesn't like it. So they get into a physical altercation.
Well, no, Zarana just goes, she's like, yeah, Baroness sucks. And then she sees Lady J and she's like, yeah, and she sucks too.
Yeah, and then they get into a physical altercation.
And Lady J's like,
you're talking to me.
I'm gonna hit you with, they're just hitting fucking each other with fucking sticks.
Right.
And then they start pounding and then everybody go.
All the dudes like gather around and they're like, dude, chick fight, let's watch it. well, so they do.
I kind of like Cobra Commander. He's like, because he's not the real Cobra Commander. So he's
He's a doofus.
He's kind of like, I guess we should break this up.
Yeah. And everybody's like, no, let them fight. So everybody watches them fight. And they're all like, ooh, maybe somebody should pick up those teeth or like shit like that.
Yeah, I do like this shot here of all the Joes. And the Dreadnoks are there, too, because Serrano's a Dreadnok.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is basically like the Mad Max group.
Sure.
Of all this shit. They're all standing around. Like all these Cobra soldiers, these Vipers. Yeah, you got, you know, Low Light trying to give some advice here. They're having a fucking MMA fight.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these other Joes that were hiding out in the woods show up and they're like,
oh man, lady fight.
Oh man, lady fight. What's going on here?
And then eventually it does get broken up. I do like the one where it's like, oh man, what's the other lady's name?
Zarana.
Yeah, Zarana kept hitting the bottom of Lady J's boot with her face.
Yeah, and then there's also like this random dude that like, I think he struck a deal. Like he was like a Asian boat guy.
Oh yeah. And he was like supposed to take somebody to the island or take them off the island.
Yeah, and then
he disappeared
and but then he shows up later to fuck with Cobra Commander because he's like, you owe me something. He's like, well fine, I'll get, you know, and he gives him one of like the fancy Cobra boats.
Yeah
Torch here. I like being able to say their names.
Okay.
It's very exciting when I get to recognize all the Joes because I could be like, oh, I know that one. I know that one. I know that one. There's nothing more better. A 38-year-old man going to a comic book store and seeing Lucy G.I. Joes being like,
oh my God, you did that.
Be like, Blizzard, and here's Doc.
He did.
And here's Thrasher, and here's.
When we were still dating, you did that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That was the one in Massachusetts?
In Salem, yeah.
In Salem, yeah.
You went to the place. You were like, oh, that place is great. I don't remember what it's called.
Harrison's, I think?
Maybe. And you were so excited because there was like a whole basket of these fucking G.I. Joes.
Oh.
You were so happy.
You know, I don't know what's wrong with me.
I don't either.
But when I get around loose action figures.
Oh my God, you're so excited. It's like your favorite.
Your husband
thing.
Is like, oh, okay, so you got this one and you got this. Oh, look, there's this kind of sort.
Yeah.
And I don't know what this is. Hey, who knows what this is? You know, excuse me, what is this? Oh, okay. Oh, we got wrestlers over here. Ooh, AWA Remco figures there. Look, there's Baron Von Raschke, and then there's
That sounds right.
that is actual dialogue.
Accurate. Yes.
So yeah, so the that Torch is like, yeah, I like the way she kept on hitting her soles of Lady J's boot with her face.
Yep.
Yeah, the Joes break it up, which, you know, it's funny that they put that on the cover. And they're like,
because it's really a very brief.
It's a dalliance.
Yeah, it's not really what the rest of this issue is about. This issue's kind of just like setting up other stuff, though.
Well, we're kind of saying because we've just finished the war.
Right.
And now they're like, all right, well, now we got to go yell at the, you know, some of these, the G.I. Joes. Lieutenant Hawk or General Hawk is like, this Cobra stuff. So I'm going to go and yell at this general in charge or whatever, you know, at the Pentagon. We're going to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
So now we jump to the Caribbean, and this is Destro's boat.
That's right, and him and Baroness are like hanging out on it.
It is
catching some rays.
This is like that Andy Samberg. This is
yeah,
pretty much
yeah,
that.
I'm on a boat.
But this is what I love here is that it's not just Destro and Baroness on a boat. It is Beach Destro and Beach Baroness.
Yes, Baroness is wearing quite a fun bikini. I have to say I really like it.
Baroness.
It's got like one of those fun like ties that kind of like wrestlers wear because it goes like across the chest and like a, you know,
She doesn't have like... I think she's wearing like a skirt or something.
I don't know. It's hard. She's sitting down. It's hard to tell right now.
Yeah, you don't see a ton.
And then, but what's his face is wearing like a Speedo.
Yeah. See, here's the thing about Destro that I don't. I've never really understood because I know
why
that...
he's got an Oscar head.
No, I.
I mean, like he's that Game of Thrones dude who got his head dipped in gold, except he didn't die.
Right. See, the thing, and there's some things in the movies where basically, like, there's, like, a weaponry or whatever that goes on his face, you know, whatever, and it's a malleable metal. Mm. But I've always thought that he had, like, a face mask that he has to wear, you know?
You mean, like, when a basketball player gets injured and they have to wear that plastic thing?
Yeah. But here's the thing. Yeah, like a Bill Lambier thing.
Yeah.
So, but Destro's face mask, like, it's basically like a second skin. Because it moves with him, like he moves his mouth, like he can express his face. Even in this picture, this is because Beach Destro, Beach Destro is just wearing black trunks,
with Speedo.
He's wearing a Speedo, and he's not completely gold body. He is
no,
you know,
it's just his head.
It's just his head that is gold, and he's also wearing sunglasses over his mask, which you would think. I don't know. It's just something about. I've always been very. Maybe I should do more research on the Destro and understand the mechanics of his face.
Sure.
Because that's something that now as a 30-year-old man I should learn about. And I can find the research about because thankfully there's a G.I. Joe Wikipedia that I can do that. Destro is basically like an arms dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got all – like I at some point I'm assuming he stepped away from Cobra proper and started up his own group, which is the Iron Grenaders.
Okay.
So he's got all – that's why you see he's got like all these different they're the anti-gravity pods. This is Nullifier.
Mm-hmm.
What does she say? I'm really touched, Destro. You wanted to do all that. And you really did all that invading like, Cobra Island and then withdrawing all to get me back.
The whole thing. Like he was there because like Baroness was there and he was like, I got to go get her.
So what happened was – okay, so this is what happened in the previous issues – Baroness knows, well, she eventually tells Destro about what's up with Cobra Commander, but she was kind of like basically manipulate him because she knew that he can, you know, that people listen to Cobra Commander and she could kind of like manipulate Cobra Commander to do things for her that would oppose Serpentor and, Dr. Mindbender and all that shit. And, you know, so eventually once the Civil War happened, they took at some point there was this blow up and she took Cobra Commander or Serpentor captured Baroness and put her on the front of a tank.
Like tied her to it?
Yeah, like literally tied her to the front of a tank and they're like.
Like moving train tracks?
No, like they have, because they have like the Cobra tanks. They have like these.
You know how you used to capture women.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah. Instead of like being on the actual track, she's on the tank. And they're like, yo, we got your lady on this tank. And then Destro's like, my woman.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and he saves. There's like all this bartering and all that stuff. There's a lot of politicking going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's like, yo, I got Baroness back. Let's go on my boat. I'm going to wear a Speedo and you're going to wear this and this could be great.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, and she's like, oh, you're so sweet, Destro.
Yeah.
And then Baroness is like, yo, you know what the deal is with Cobra Commander? He's a phony. He's basically just – Cobra Commander is really – he's known as the character that is underneath the hood, the armor, is Fred 7.
Oh, yeah. It's Fred 8.
Is it Fred 8?
No, in this book, it's Fred 8.
Okay.
Or is it 7?
I think it's 7.
Okay.
Maybe it's 8 or 7. I can't remember. But basically, Fred 7 is just what they would do. He was a Crimson Guard. If you wanted to join Cobra and you were going to be like a Crimson, like a somebody there, they would basically like have you get surgery to look like the standard guy that they would have under these hoods, under these armors.
Okay.
And then they would put you in like different places across the country to kind of like influence people to do Cobra shit.
Okay.
Like sleeper cells.
Okay.
But this would just happen to be one of them that was like, you know, because Cobra Commander is not around right now. The real Cobra Commander is not around right now because he found out he has a son, and his son was in like a car accident, and there's a whole fucking deal.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, so basically that's what we're finding out here is that Cobra Commander is not who we appear. Yeah, and then they go to this freighter and...
Oh, that's right, because so we're back with the Cobra, what's his name? Dr. Mindbender, and he has Serpentor in a coffin? But yeah, basically like a sarcophagus, and he's like ordering all these people to just pour ice on him.
Because he
wants to like study his body for medical purposes.
Well, that's because...
That's what he says.
Yeah, because Serpentor is basically like...
Is like Killer Croc.
No.
Yeah, he's like a crocodile man.
Who's that?
Is this Serpent Man?
No. So, okay. Actually, you know what? The best way to describe Serpentor is like the movie Twins.
Oh.
And you know how they basically are like, hey,
Danny DeVito's the leftover garbage?
Yeah, well, but Serpentor is like the Schwarzenegger, okay?
Okay.
Because they're basically like, hey, let's get DNA.
So it's like Jurassic Park meets Twins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I get it.
Jurassic Park beats Twins plus snakes.
Plus snakes. You can't tell me there wasn't any snake DNA in those dinosaurs.
It's true.
They never said one way or the other.
Dinosaurs. But basically, so the Serpentor is an
amalgamation
of all the great rulers and Napoleon, Genghis Khan, and Attila the Hun, you know, and they basically got DNA from like Alexander the Great. They got DNA from all these guys, and they basically created.
Where'd they get DNA from Alexander the Great?
Well, they went into like, so this is like one of the things in the cartoon where
they find his body. Anyway, continue.
They went around and like went to like all these things where like, hey, here's the remains, you know, and they grabbed something out of it.
What if it wasn't him? What if it was just some dude?
I don't know. Apparently it worked because they created Serpentor. Although he could control, like, snakes, too. Like, he had these snakes that he wore on his, like, his chest.
So it also has Voldemort DNA?
I think so.
Because he can talk to snakes.
He might have. He had these snakes that were, like, a part of his dress, but then he could, like, grab one and make it alive, and then he could, like, straighten it and throw it into your chest.
Gross.
Yeah. But basically what happened was Zartan shot Serpentor in the eye with an arrow, so now he's dead right now.
Okay.
But he'll come back.
Great.
So... and so, you know, Dr. Mindbender basically created Serpentor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's like, you know, Cobra Commander's like, yo, what are you doing? What are you keeping down there? You hiding something from me? And he's like, nah, you know, but he's really keeping, you know, Serpentor on ice. I do like this thing they do with their android troopers. Mm-hmm. They just kind of stack them up in like a little.
Oh, yeah.
Like a little
it's
pile.
Like a cord of wood.
Yeah. Because they have these bat troopers. These battle androids.
Yeah, they're just like stack the ones that are broken and we'll like try to salvage the parts.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so is this the part where that dude comes in to like harass Cobra Commander?
Yeah.
So yeah. It's the guy who wanted the boat, right?
Yeah.
So he comes in and he's like calling this guy like Greg or something.
Greg?
I don't know. What's he calling him? Dan?
Oh, he's got like a different name.
Dave!
Anyways, it's Dave. And Dave's like, give me a boat.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I'm going to tell everybody who you are. And he's like, don't do that. Because he's going to like threaten to rip his head off. And everybody runs because like.
Apparently the armor that, because Cobra Commander used to have like that hood.
Yeah.
But then like at some point they gave him like this fancy like silver and blue armor.
Sure.
And apparently the helmet, if you.
Has like explosives.
Yeah. If you unlock it without it being like safe.
Yeah.
It'll blow up your head.
Sure.
It blows up and shit, which is.
Yeah. So everybody goes running and he's like, no, don't do it. I'll do whatever you want because this guy knows he's a fake. Then we have like two of the Joes are going to Washington.
Yeah. Well, some of the Joes are going to Washington, but we're also here where Destro is like on his boat and he's like, yo, I'm on a boat.
Yeah.
And he's waving to the Joes.
And Baroness is like, hey, I'm just going to tell you, by the way, Cobra Commander's like a total fake.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's great. This picture is so funny because it's really poorly. Like, he's not drawn very well in it.
No, he's kind of actually drawn.
He looks very 2D. He looks like a paper doll.
We know what he looks like? He kind of looks like an old-timey, like, drawing. Like, if you were to draw, like, Superman from, like, the 40s.
Sure.
And you're just like, hey, here's a muscular body.
But his pants aren't high enough.
No, his pants aren't high enough, but you just see him from behind, and it just looks odd.
It does. It really looks like somebody who hadn't figured out how to draw, like, 3D yet.
Yeah.
Like, his head's, like, perfectly to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very strange. So, They get to Washington.
We're at the Pentagon.
And who's here? Roadblock and someone else,
Roadblock,
right?
And Hawk.
So they go to the Pentagon, and then they're going to talk to General Malthus. Is that supposed to be a veiled reference to General Mathis?
Probably.
So they're going to go talk to them and be like, hey, what's with the whole, you know, you guys are disavowing this mission or whatever. And they're like, you guys made this messy. We're blaming everything that happened on Cobra Island on you, G.I. Joes, and you're all fucking going to jail.
I like that they go into this room and it's just like these generals just sitting in these, like these seven generals just sitting in these things.
Yeah, it's like a bench of generals.
It's just a weird, like.
It kind of looks like they're like a choir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, do generals just sit like that?
Apparently. You just sit in a room if you're a general. Yeah. I mean, apparently you just sit there and you just like wait to sing.
Yeah.
And they're all an a cappella group.
I do like how this General Malthus is laying into the Hawk and all that. And the one guy's like, you tell him, General Malthus.
Yeah, Malthus.
I just like these generals being like, yeah, you tell them, we're a bunch of fucking latchkey kids or whatever. But basically they're like, we want to protect people and it's our best interest to tell everybody that. I can't remember, but there's like other like military interests involved with all this Cobra shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, look, we don't want to get none of us to take the blame. So we're just going to blame it on G.I. Joe. Fuck you, Hawk. Eat my ass.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's kind of what we're dealing with here. And then the military police show up. They grab, you know, this General Hollingsworth who looks like Reginald Bell Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Roadblock and Hawk.
And they leave them out in cuffs, and the media is there, and they're like, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And then they throw them in a car.
That's a lot of media outside
there's
of
a
the
lot.
Pentagon.
Yeah, there's a
Can
lot.
Can you get that close to the Pentagon like that?
I don't know.
Mm.
That's a good question. So then they throw them in a car, and they're like, we're going to go after all the Joes. All right. Of them. We're disavowing all of them. They're all going to be arrested and brought to justice.
Yep. Yeah,
then they're in the car. And Hawk and the General and Roadblock. And Roadblock's like, hey, so if I like break out of this, are you guys going to be pissed? Because we have to go warn the other Joes. Because there's some in the Himalayas and there's some on that boat.
Yeah. Like Snake Eyes and Scarlet, a bunch of them like, doing something else.
Yeah. So like we got to warn them before they get captured. So if I'm going to break out of this, and they're like, you know, do what you got to do. So Roadblock is like the strongest man alive.
Well, here's the thing. This is what actually makes sense.
He's a metahuman.
Well, yeah. And also this is what makes sense, too, that The Rock plays Roadblock in the movies.
Yeah.
Because The Rock is the strongest man alive.
Sure.
And he basically just rips apart these handcuffs.
Terry Crews could have played that guy, too.
Terry Crews could have 100% been actually.
Because he would have just been, like, ripping shit apart and, like, being all big and muscular.
He would have been a much better Roadblock, to be quite honest. He pretty much was Roadblock in The Expendables.
Yeah.
You know, because he was like, hey, I've got the biggest gun and I can carry it.
Yeah.
That's Roadblock's gimmick. He's like, I can carry the biggest gun.
Yeah, because I'm a humongous man.
Also, Roadblock, not everybody knows this, but very good chef.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, he is. That is his secondary thing when you look at his G.I. Joe file card. It's like machine gunner and then secondary position chef.
Hmm. Interesting.
So he makes good food.
Interesting.
So Roadblock just jumps out of the car while it's running.
Yeah, he just like literally breaks his handcuffs and then just busts the door open.
He uses the door to roll.
Yeah, he doesn't just open the door. He rips it off the hinges.
And somehow he doesn't die. And then he holds... And then
he uses it as a shield.
Then the police officer, the military police start shooting at him and he just holds the door. He's like, ha, fuck you. And then he manages to hit...
He like hits a dude in the face with it. It's very wrestling.
In the face. Which is, again, The Rock.
Yeah.
So
very wrestling. He hits a guy in the face, takes his motorbike, because it was basically the escort was riding along on these bikes, and he takes it and he just like rides the wrong way into traffic.
Yeah, I do want to point out Roblox Robin William forearms.
Oh yeah.
Also, if we're getting Russell being specific, Martian Manhunter forearms from the cover of Justice League Task Force Number 1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll never forget those worms.
And people are like yelling at him like, hey, dude, you're going the wrong way. And he's like, I know, because this is the way I want to go.
Because I'm The Rock.
And then he also gets kind of pissed because like the person who yelled at him is not driving an American-made car.
Yeah, you can't fuck with the, yeah.
Yeah, Roadblock ain't having it.
Roadblock ain't having it. You drive Ford or fuck off.
Yeah, so he's driving back into D.C. People are chasing him. And then he ends up going like down an alley.
Yeah.
That they say, oh, it's a blind alley. He'll never escape. He doesn't have any civilian clothes. He doesn't have any money on him. So we're going to get him. And he like disappears when he goes down this alley.
Yeah.
They don't know where he went.
I forgot where he hides.
I don't think they might not tell it in this book, but
no,
they don't tell you here.
But basically what happens is he goes to this like lady. I forgot what her name is, but she's like some badass. Like she wasn't like a soldier, but she's like some sort of like badass bureaucrat or something.
Right. And she's like retired or something.
She's retired now. And he's like, hey, you need to help me. And she's like,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, because now it's all over the news.
Yeah.
That the Joes are in trouble.
Yeah. And this is where Dr. Mindbender, where they give that guy a hydrofoil.
Yeah, they give him a cool boat.
Give him a cool ass boat with like giant missiles on it and guns.
Yeah, they're like, here you go.
Just go drive this around for a little bit.
Sure.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
Can't be driving that around.
Cobra doesn't care.
No, Cobra does not care. Cobra does not give a fuck.
They're like, you know, actually, if you could kill a few people on the way out, that'd really help me out.
You know, they'll know it's us. You know, they could be like, yo, Cobra.
Kind of like that Simpsons where...
Hey, Hank Scorpio?
Yeah.
Hey, Homer, if you could shoot or kill a few people on the way out, that'd be great.
That'd really help me out.
That'd really help me out. Yeah, and Dr. Mindbender is like, I think you might be somebody else.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah, Dr. Mindbender's like, hey, Dave 8 or whatever your name
Dave
is.
Dave 8.
Greg 8 or whatever the fuck.
Greg 19.
Greg 19, whatever your name's supposed to be. He's like, I know you're not actually Cobra Commander, but... I won't tell anybody. If you won't tell anybody that I took Serpentor's body to use for medical research, we can strike a deal. And he's like, that sounds great to me. And they like shake on it while like looking at the sunset.
I'm going to make a strong case here that Dr. Mindbender is a heavy inspiration for Krieger on Archer.
Oh, I could see that 100%. Yes.
I'm imagining that somebody who used to watch, yeah, somebody that writes on that show that writes, you know, that created Krieger was probably, I forgot who the creators are, but they're probably like, yeah, he could be Dr. Mind, because Dr. Mindbender is 100% that.
Oh, yeah.
He is just futzing with people, you know, but he's not, you know, I piss and shit in the jar too, you know, kind of.
I love it when they're like, Krieger, please tell me that you didn't like do something, whatever, something terrible. And he's like, yes.
I just like the parts where like he'd be walking by Mallory's office and he's just got like body parts, yeah, or something. And they're like, Krieger,
like a box, like, or whatever.
Oh, I love Krieger.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, but Dr. Mindbender is basically Krieger.
Yep.
Yeah, so basically he's like, look, you know, we will...
Wait, who's that face in the background?
So
there?
For some reason they're like...
Because they're like talking to each other because they just watched that guy like drive away in his missile boat where he's going to go kill a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And then they're like, let's... As we're watching this romantic sunset, like shake hands.
And it is a pretty romantic sunset. It's a pretty nice little.
It really is.
Nice little moment for them.
And they're like, let's just shake hands and promise that we're not going to like fuck the other one over because we're both going to get something out of this. And as they're talking, there's this like weird head. Like,
well, that's Zartan.
Yeah, like Zartan's head just like superimposed in the background.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of like Paul Walker being
up
in the
really
sky.
Yeah, it really is.
It's kind of like Vin Diesel with his tribute to Paul Walker on Instagram.
Oh my God, that was amazing. Oh, I forgot about that.
Never forget.
No, it was pretty great. It's like when you went and took pictures at school. Like back in the 80s.
Oh, when they would just superimpose your face.
And they would superimpose your head like above, like in the background. Yeah. So it was like you in the front, but like your face in the background too. It's kind of like that.
I have a question for you.
Mm.
You look at Zartan here, right? Mm. That's what Zartan looks like.
Yes.
What do you think's going on with his head?
I assume he's wearing some sort of hood and he's got like Ultimate Warrior face paint.
Okay, fair enough.
Right?
I just realized.
Is that part of the whole thing's part, like it's one piece?
No.
Oh.
I just realized though, recently.
Oh, that's his hair.
No, that's not his hair. Oh. That is a hood. I always thought it was his hair.
Oh.
I always thought it was hair. I always looked at it as like, oh, he's got this red hair. Because it's, you know, it's red, you know, on the figure and stuff like that. He's got these black eye things or whatever. Yeah, because the face paint's legit.
Yeah.
But I always looked at his face. I always looked at it and I was like, oh, that's his hair. No, it's always been a hood.
No, if that was his hair, he could be in like some death metal band.
Oh, yeah, he's got like a Danzig kind of thing.
He
going.
Really does. Yeah, he's also got like the Widow Peak.
Yeah, he's definitely open for Danzig in 88.
100%.
Definitely.
I think he's going to open
if Zartan
open
for Danzig, if you're like, Zartan's open, I'd be like, sweet.
I think he's going to open for Danzig on his next tour, which is coming up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Danzig touring with
Zartan. Or at least
Zartan.
His next show. I don't know if he's actually touring anymore. I don't know how Danzig works.
How does Danzig work? Fucking Danzig. How does he work?
That's a really good question. How does Danzig work?
Actually, because, was it, who played, I forgot, Arnold Vosloo, I think, played Zartan in the second G.I. Joe movie, or maybe the first one. The guy that played the mummy in the mummy movies, in the new mummy movies. But Danzig would have been a great Zartan.
Sure.
But then you could just use his real hair.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, nah.
Yeah, he would have just used his real hair, and he would have just
maybe dyed red. I don't know if Danzig will let you do that.
No, Danzig's not dying anything red.
Danzig's not doing anything that doesn't look like already like Danzig.
Yeah, and he's going to have to stand on like 8 apple boxes, so he looks tall.
Yeah.
Because he's a short man.
Very short man. We spent a lot of time with the Baroness and Destro.
We really do. And like them watching TV to hear what's going on about the Joes. And he's like, well, this is interesting, but it kind of sucks.
They got cable.
Yeah, they've got some great cable. And then like...
This is post-coital, by the way.
Yeah, they're complaining about the news being, like, more violence than news. And you're like, yep, nothing's changed.
Yeah. You could have the same conversation in 2018. It could be just me sitting here with a golden face being like, eh, what the fuck?
I mean, really, that would be a fun cosplay to do. You just paint your face gold.
Yeah, but then I have to get, like, a sweet Destro shirt, Destro outfit.
What is the outfit? I just see red from here.
It's a lot of chest. That's just his kimono. That's just his bed kimono.
Maybe you should be kimono Destro.
Oh,
guy.
Kimono Destro?
Yeah.
Just like everybody remembers that great...
Yeah, that one
that,
issue.
That G.I. Joe 77 from 1988.
Yeah. Everyone remembers that look.
Everybody remembers that. It's like, I'm surprised there hasn't been a figure made out of that.
Yeah.
If I was in charge of G.I. Joes and all those fucking action guys, I'd be like, kimono Destro, please. We'd have kimono Destro. We have...
Beach Destro.
We definitely have Beach Destro.
Yeah.
Basically, you could make a pretty good... If you took a Ken doll and just gave him like...
And just spray painted his head gold.
Yeah, you'd have a fucking sweet-ass Destro.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the news starts shouting at them for some reason.
Yeah, they're like, we have an announcement.
Oh, that's right, because then this is when the Joes have gotten captured.
That's right. They captured the Joes off the boat. Yeah. So it's Lady J, and what's Flint is on there, I think, and... So they got those guys.
Wait, so we're already at the night. Like, Baroness has been wearing her swim outfit for like the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, unless if that's also doubles as her
boat.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, she's like, I don't feel like changing. It happens.
Baroness is like, yo, your team is hot. So we need to deal with that.
Your team is the only one that's not in chaos right now.
Yeah.
Everybody else is fucked. That's great. By the way, my boobs look low in this picture. Like, I'm not wearing a bra.
No, she's not. Well, yeah, she's wearing...
She's wearing a bathing suit. She's wearing a string bikini.
Oh, yeah.
That's why, you know, you need straps. So then we go to that older woman who's that badass bureaucrat whose name I can't remember. And then she's watching the news. And then there's a knock at the door. And that's...
Dr. Burkhart.
And yeah. That's Roadblock.
I think she's from the early issues of G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
The comic books. So.
And he's like... can you please help me? And she's like, please come in before the feds find you.
That's right.
And that's how it ends.
That's how this ends. And that is it for G.I. Joe. We don't have a letters page, so I think it's... I forgot what the letters page was called, but it was like, Yo Joe-in.
Sure.
If I was as old as I am now, but I was reading this comic in 1988, I'd definitely write about the beach attire.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, yo, how does that work?
How's that going? Yeah.
Will we be getting an action figure of Destro in beach attire?
Please.
Yeah, but that's it for G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, number 77 from October 1988. Would you want to read the next issue of this?
I feel like I'd have to read the issue before this, because there's a lot of stuff going on.
There is.
I need to have context in order to understand.
Yeah.
So if I was going to read it, I feel like I'd have to read the whole trade.
There's a lot to unpack in this thing. That's something that like I really enjoy... this book, but there's a lot that's going on in these stories that, you know, you kind of have to be paying attention. Like, because especially shit like Serpentor, Cobra has like 3 or 4 different leaders.
Yeah.
Like, there's all this weird hierarchy. And so, I mean, there's that. And that's just on its own. And then you read all about all the other shit that's going on with G.I. Joe. You know, and trying to follow, because there's like a million G.I. Joes.
Right.
Like, you read some, there's issues in this, you know, in this trade that are like, there's a bunch of new guys are showing up, you know, there's this guy, there's, you know, and then there's these other guys, and you're just trying to, you know, and then occasionally what they'll do is they'll just, what they do most of the time is just follow around all these different characters. They hopped to this group. They hopped to that group. Eventually, it just became ninja crazy. So they started following around a bunch of ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they were doing at one point. But yeah. So now I'm down with this. Though I'm almost actually done with this trade. I got a few more pages left. But it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we did a digital version too. So
yes.
Being fancy. Big shout out to G.I. Joe. And is there anything else we had to cover? I feel like we haven't actually done like a episode like in person in a while because we pre-taped it. So I feel like we covered all that Comic-Con stuff too. So
yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook at Worst Collection Ever. And you can email us at worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And of course, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get this podcast. We would really appreciate the support. So thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.